Judges 4.
Last week, I gave a Mother's Day message to men. Another mother came and took all the mothers away. And it looked for a while as if I were going to give the message today only to women and there were going to be no men. But we do have a mixed multitude now. So what I will do is give a little review about Deborah and then consider in some detail the song that she composed in chapter 5. In chapter 4, look at verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded, saying, Go and draw unto Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. Now, look over at verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prevailed more and more against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, Notice that this is a duet that is sung, but the song is composed by Deborah. Look at verse 3. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. Look at verse 7. The rulers ceased in Israel, they ceased until that I, Deborah, arose. Look at verse 9. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly. Bless ye the Lord. It is Deborah who composed this song. She composed it, and Barak joins in singing it with her. All right. Verse 2. For that the leaders took the lead in Israel, for that the people offered themselves willingly, bless ye the Lord. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise unto the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest forth out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens also dropped, yea, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, even yon Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The rulers ceased in Israel, they ceased, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel. You see how appropriate it was last week, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless you the Lord. Tell of it, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit on rich carpets, and he that walked by the way, far from the noise of archers, in the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts of his rule in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead away thy captives, thou son of Abinoam. Then came down a remnant of the nobles and the people. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. Out of Ephraim came down they whose root is in Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Maker came down governors, and out of Zebulun, they that handled the marshal's staff. We are in Judges chapter 5. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rushed forth at his feet. By the watercourses of Reuben, there were great resolves apart. Why sattest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? At the watercourses of Reuben, there were great searchings apart. Gilead abode beyond the Jordan. And then, why did he remain in ship? Asher sat still at the haven of the sea, and abode by his creek. Zebulun was a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death, and Naphtali upon the high places of the field. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. From heaven fought the stars. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, march on with strength. Then did the horsehoof stamp by reason of the prancings of their strong ones. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael be, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought him butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the tent pin, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote through his head, yea, she pierced and struck through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Through the window she looked forth and cried. The mother of Sisera cried through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself. Have they not found, have they not divided the spoil, a damsel, two damsels to every man? To Sisera a spoil of dyed garments, a spoil of dyed garments embroidered, of dyed garments embroidered on both sides, on the neck of the spoil? So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. Let us speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all parts of thy word. We thank you for the poetry as well as the prose. We thank you that at times the hearts of the children of Israel are caused to sing. We read so much of the sighing of the children of Israel in Egypt. We are glad, our Father, that we also have read of their songs. So help us to understand this day about Deborah and Barak. Deborah, a mother in Israel, and bless the truths to our hearts. Thou knowest our sins. Be faithful in just to forgive and cleanse, and
give us a profitable time today, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There are always men who want to be something that God never intended them to be, and there are always women who want themselves to be something that God never intended them to be. But at times, on rare occasions like this one, you have a woman who wants to be what God wants her to be and wants a man to be what God wants him to be, but she finds it impossible for this to occur. Now, in our age, a woman is wanting to step out of her place. She wants to be something that God never intended her to be. In this day, here is a woman that is better equipped, has a better spirit than any man in Israel, and yet she is looking for a man to take over the function that she finds invested in herself. Now, how many women do you find that way today? But it's remarkable. It was she. She is a prophetess. Understand this, that a woman has gifts as much as a man. There are prophets and there are prophetesses. And at the same time, there are men teachers and there are women teachers. The only difference in the gifts is the sphere in which they exercise their gifts. But there are some who recognize their place in creation, and Deborah was one, and she was filling in a way that was self-abnegating until Barak came along, and at last, she says, you can take over and fight the battles of Israel. And Barak proved to be a failure inasmuch as he said, well, I'll go fight if you go with me, but if you don't go, I'm going to stay home. I'm not going. Isn't that a wonderful commendation from them? It's a shameful thing, but it's the truth. I must give some review last week, since you ladies weren't here, of the cowards that are in the book of Judges. If I ask you, who was he that led 10,000 warriors and defeated Jabin and Sisera? You say, Barak. And who held his hand? You say, Deborah. That's a shameful and embarrassing thing. But he said, I'm not going unless you go with me. So, she said, I'll go with you, but understand this. If I go with you, the glory is not going to you. The glory is going to a woman. You see how God wants a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman? And here is a woman that is looking for a man to fight the battle of Israel. But here is one that without the support of Deborah, he says, I'm not going. And this is what we must remember, that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there has always been a distinction between man and woman. Even before sin came, it says the man was made first. It says the man was not taken out of the woman, but the woman was taken out of the man. All of this is before sin came into the world. And if I ask you this, is the head of every man Christ? Would anybody deny that? You say, no. Well, is the head of every woman the man? It's in the same passage. And so there is this social structure. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It is not the children to give orders to their parents. God has positions in creation, whether we like it or not. And the fact that Christ has come and redeemed has not removed these distinctions, because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 just why a woman is to behave as she does and why a man is to behave as he does. And if you can grasp this, this is what Isaiah says using the words of God. He says, as for my people Israel, he says, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. And this is God's condemnation, that man would let himself be reduced to this. And I made many confessions last week, ladies, to the men. I'm not going to tell you all those confessions, just some of them. It says, if a woman would learn anything, let her ask her husband at home.
And some of the husbands would say, if I want to learn anything, I ask my wife at home. That's the embarrassing thing. Well, to save face, I'm going to know God's word, and if a question arises, I might pause for time. I would say, let me think that through. And then I would go and find the answer to these things. But the man is the head of the woman. Here is the man and the woman, and the man is to take the lead, and Deborah knows that. Now understand, it does not mean that a woman is inferior. In fact, when I was in the service, I had some who were over me that I'm sure were inferior to me, but they were over me. The headship of man simply means headship, and the woman being man as her head, it simply means subjection. It does not in any way mean anything inferior. It does not mean that she is not gifted in the least. In fact, you have couples such as Aquila and Priscilla, and evidently Priscilla knew more than her husband. But that is the way it is. And in the New Testament, you read of prophets, but you also read of prophetesses. And I asked the men last week to name all the prophetesses that were in the Bible, and they were not able to do it, and I'm not going to embarrass them to say, well, have you found out who they are now? But in the Bible, on the fingers of one hand, you can name all the prophetesses that are ever given names in the Bible. The first was Miriam, the second was Deborah, the third was Huldah, the fourth was Noadiah. In the New Testament, you have Anna, and then you have four daughters of Philip that prophesied, but they are not given a name. And you have one other prophetess. Her name was Jezebel. You understand? She was in a position that God never intended her to be. She called herself a prophetess, but she was not a prophetess. She was the one that was ruling over the assembly at Thyatira, but she was entirely out of place. And God said, I gave her time to repent. She willeth not to repent. And he said, I'm going to cast her into a bed and her children and kill them to death. So here was a woman that was out of place, but God said, I'm giving her time to repent. She will not repent, God said. I will deal with her. But here is a woman that is doing everything in her power to have a man come and take the lead, but he would not. But in the Bible, I brought this out, that though you have prophetesses, they are rare. They are exceptions. And two of the husbands of those that were prophetesses or named, those of distinction, I shan't tell you all of it. Lapido is Deborah's husband. And did you know that Isaiah, a prophet, also was married to a prophetess? That's a remarkable thing. But the ways of God are so strange for this reason. If you had Isaiah the prophet present, and you wanted an answer, you think that he would be sufficient as a prophet to this? You say yes. For Isaiah the prophet went with other influential men of Israel when they found the book of the law, and they went to Huldah the prophetess and say, what is the will of the Lord? Remarkable. And another thing that's so strange, here you have men, and yet Huldah had the message from the Lord at that time, and so they went to her and said, tell us, what is the will of the Lord? But in the case of Philip, who had four daughters that prophesied, when God wanted to make his will known concerning a famine, and concerning first a famine, and then later what was going to happen to the Apostle Paul, he sent down Agabus, the prophet. Well, isn't that remarkable? And they said, look, we have four prophetesses here. Use one of them. God says, no, I'm using Agabus. And I would say, you have Isaiah, the prophet, use him. God says, I'm using Huldah. But here is a prophetess, and God wants a man to come on the scene and in conjunction with her, to work with her and to go and fight the battles, but he will not take that position. And because he will not, then, God does not give him the glory. He has to go, and Deborah assists him. And at the end, the Lord said, the battle could have been yours, but understand this, that whereas Barak could have been the one who slew Jael, Sisera, Jael was the one who did slay him, and it says the reason is that you will not go and take up the position of leadership that I have prophesied from God that you should have taken up. And because of that, God turns events, and instead of letting them go this way, God says they are going that way. Understand it, all of you who believe in fatalism, and what is to be will be. The Lord Jesus began to rebuke certain cities in which his greatest miracles had been done. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon that were done in you, that were done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done in you, they would have repented long ago. He said, but now judgment is going to fall upon you. There are certain things that God says, if you go in this direction, then things will go in this direction. And the glory could have been Barak's, but instead, we're going to sing about Jael. She is the heroine in this adventure. She is the one that killed the chief captain. Another thing, let me show you this while we're at it. Look at verse 23. And here is something that is so remarkable. This woman is in communion with God. She is a prophetess. Understand that. Listen to it carefully at verse 23. Cushi Meraz, said the angel of the Lord. Cushi bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Since when does God need help? Since always. He could do it himself, but he looks for a man. And here was the opportunity of Meraz to come out and join, but instead of joining, he refuses to join. Now, this is what should have been startling. The angel of the Lord is present when this battle is taking place, and Deborah is able to hear this angel of the Lord. Notice, Cushi Meraz, said the angel of the Lord, Cushi bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Here is God's manifestation, the angel of the Lord, and he is making utterances while this battle is going on. Now, that should immediately bring to mind something that John the seer in the book of Revelation heard. He speaks about enemies that are coming, and the number of the enemies is mentioned, and he said, I heard when their number was mentioned. Now, that is communion with God. And let me tell you of another. David, a prophet, he, in the Spirit, said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David heard in the distant future, before Christ had ever become flesh, he, being a prophet of God, saw what Christ had become, his victory, and he heard the Father say to the Son, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. So this is the power of those that had this miraculous gift from God. And that is why I listen to those who say they have this power today. But I confess I've never found one who had the true biblical miraculous gift of prophecy today. You have echoes of it. You have some that know a little about the mind of God, but none of these infallible, inspired ones like they did of old. If they do, then they are hearing such things as David heard, as Deborah heard, as John heard. But I wanted to bring that to your attention concerning these who are prophetesses and the power of the prophetess. Never put a woman down and say, she's not as gifted as a man. She may be more gifted than the man, but God has said that she exercises her gift among certain ones and in certain places, and that is the will of God. Why? That is up to God to answer, but he says it. For instance, are women teachers? Of course they are. And it says in Titus chapter 2 that the aged, but we'll call those the older women, not the aged women, the older women are to teach the younger women. Yes. But it says in 1 Timothy 2, I permit not a woman to teach a man to have dominion over a man, but she is specifically instructed to teach women. Women ought to teach. It says they are to remain silent in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. And here is Deborah, who is exercising her gift in a place of humility, waiting for a man to come along with whom she can commune and tell the will of God and let him take up the gauntlet, but instead he will not. So she goes along and assists him. So remember this, ladies, that do not ever think that your gift is any less than a man's. It may be more. But at the same time, understand that there are men who should be at the head, but instead they are like Barak. Instead, they are like Archelaus. Paul had to say to Archelaus, "Now you take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And concerning elders, it says, "If any man desireth, if he aspireth to be an overseer, he desireth a good work." There are some men who have the ability, and they do not aspire, and they will not assume that responsibility. And because of that, then we have women that know what they are doing, and they're looking for a man to take their place. All right, that much. And what I will do now is to show you how superior the gift of this woman was, because this song is the equal to the song of Miriam in Exodus 15. Miriam is called a prophetess, and she was one who led in song. And here, Deborah is one who composed the song, and also she sings the song. And there was another who wrote a magnificent song, a poem. That was Hannah, when God gave her a child, Samuel. So women had been able to compose magnificent songs. And you remember the Magnificat? When Mary got this message from the Lord, and when she's visiting Elizabeth, then she comes out with this magnificent song. So here is Deborah that composes this song. And what I will do, because I think you might need a little help in understanding it, it's poetry. It is history, but it's before us in a poetical form. So, first of all, it tells that Deborah is the one who composed the song. And then look at verse 2. We have here a call to praise God. Look at verse 2, the very last words. "Bless ye the Lord." Why? "For that the leaders took the lead in Israel, for that the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord." I'm afraid that what's happening to the people of God today is that the rulers are not ruling as they should. The leaders are not taking the lead. The people are not offering themselves willingly. You have to get behind them. You have to reprove, rebuke, exhort. You have to do everything you can to get them to serve the Lord. But Deborah sees something that happens, and the leaders are taking the lead, and the people are offering themselves willingly. And she says, "Bless ye the Lord." Now, again, look at verse 9. It says, "My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord." If I ever saw God's people respond that way. For those that have gifts, to use that gift. But the people to offer themselves willingly and not grudgingly of necessity, well, I would say, "Bless the Lord." I would do it as well. But she is blessing the Lord when she sees movement among the people of God. So we have that. Now, look at verse 4. You have a reminiscence of what God did in the past. It says, "Lord," verse 4, "when thou wentest forth out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens also dropped, yea, the clouds dropped water, the mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, even yon Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel." Here is a reminiscence of how God appeared to Israel in the book of Exodus, and then he's going to make a covenant with Israel, and then, having fought for Israel, then she is reminded of God's presence and blessing and assistance to Israel in the past, and it makes her think of what God has done for Israel again today. And it would bless my heart if it happened a third time. The nation of Israel sings in Exodus 15. Why? Because God has given them the victory. The nation of Israel sings again in Judges 5. Why? Because God has given them the victory. But what songs have I heard among the people of God today because of victory over the enemy? The song that I hear is a song that comes forth like that. When the children of Israel are captive, and among their captives they hear these words, "Sing to us one of the songs of Zion. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, we hanged our harps upon the willows, because they that took us captive required of us a song. Sing to us one of the songs of Zion." They said, how can we sing one of the Lord's songs in a foreign land? And so at times, the people of God are without a song. But here, Deborah remembers Miriam and the song she composed, and now Deborah does not come behind in the least in singing a song and composing a song. Then what God did in Exodus, God can do in the book of Judges, and God can do for us today, unless this verse has no more meaning. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unless that verse is not true anymore. So what I long for is for a victory among the people of God, rather than have those that are characterized by mediocrity, by defeat, by hiding themselves, as this next point. Notice now, look at verse 6. Here is what is so sorrowful. Here is the recent condition of Israel. Verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through byways. The rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased. These were the conditions that prevailed up until the time, look at verse 7, until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, a mother in Israel. You see, she understands the incongruousness of it all, that a mother in Israel arises and brings Israel to their senses. It's the same way, and it's such a shameful thing, that you have King Saul, who is head and shoulders over all the children of Israel. And Goliath comes out and says, give me a man. And all of them run and hide. And David, the stripling, comes out, and he hears the challenge, and he says, I'll fight that man. And they say, you're not able to fight him. He's been a man of war from his youth, and you are nothing but a youth. And David said, God empowered me to kill the lion and the bear, and I'll kill this uncircumcised Philistine. And David goes out and does what the leaders and soldiers of Israel should have had courage to do, but they did not do. But David went out, and it said, when they saw David kill the giant and cut off his head, the nation of Israel was inspired, and they went and fought the Philistine, and they prevailed. But what happens is that you need someone to arise. And in all the other instances, there are 15 judges. And in all the other instances, God raises up a man. But here, and this is what she says, it says, everything was this way. Nobody would go out on the highways. Why? Because they would be robbed. They would be killed by, or jaded by Sisera. And so they hid. There was no safety. Their hearts were filled with fear. They ceased. It said, until I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. And then the spirit changed. That's what's so remarkable. And so it may be that God will use one of you sisters here to inspire men, and men learn the lesson. Do not let it be recorded of you that God does raise up a woman to encourage us, and then says, now, you go and fight the battle. And you say, well, I'll go if you'll hold my hand, but I'm not going if you do not hold my hand. Let us be men. As it says, quit you like men. In understanding, be men. And that's what God wants us to do. He delights for us to be, to fulfill the role in life that he's given us. But here, she sees how incongruous it is that a mother in Israel arose. And when that happens, what happens is this in verse 9. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Now, when she arose, then her spirit inspired the others and courage filled their hearts. All right. Now, in verse 10, what we have is an exhortation for people to talk about the glorious victory that has occurred in distant places. Look at verse 10. Tell it, ye that ride on white asses. Here are influential people. Ye that sit on rich carpets and go there to talk about the wonderful deeds of the Lord. And ye that walk by the way, the pedestrians, all the Israelites, are to talk about these glorious victories that God has given the nation of Israel. And look at verse 11. Far from the noise of archers in the places of drawing of water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts of his rule in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gate. Before, they were afraid to go to the gate. If anybody came and challenged them, they were cowards, and a weapon could not be found among 40,000. When the enemy came, no one would take up a weapon to go and fight. But now all things have changed because Deborah has been a mother in Israel. Now let me say this. It can mean two things. I asked last week if anybody remembered the one that Paul said was his mother. Does any brother remember that? He said in Romans chapter 15, and salute Rufus, his mother and mine. It's not speaking there about Rufus being his brother, but as our Savior said, you who have forsaken fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, he said, right now in this time, you will have 100-fold fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and so forth. All of these things that you've lost in a physical way, you will gain 100-fold in a spiritual way. And here is Deborah, a mother in Israel, and here was the mother of Rufus, and she was a mother to Paul, and it's time when a mother can be younger than her son, the spiritual mothers in Israel. And I thank God, I can think over the years, those sisters in Israel that have been a mother to me, and I rejoice. And the homes that have been opened to me, God has given me 100-fold in that spiritual sense. And so here is Deborah. She calls herself a mother in Israel. And how delightful that a mother who takes her children and comforts them and sustains them, that Deborah was able to do this with her own family in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense, because I read you this in chapter 4, that Deborah dwelt under the palm tree, and it says the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So, where she abode, she would sit down, and people would come up, and they would say, here is a problem that I have. Deborah, could you solve that problem for me? And she had wisdom from God, and she would be like a mother giving counsel to the children. As it says in Proverbs 1, it speaks about the father's contribution to the child, and it says, forget not the law of thy mother. So here is the function of a mother in Israel. And with 1 minute left, just this. Here you have the brave. Look at verse 13, because I want us to see that not everyone responded in a proper way. Then came down, verse 13 in chapter 5, a remnant of the nobles of the people. The Lord came down for me. Out of Ephraim came, she's speaking of brave men. Now, look at the last part of verse 15. By the watercourses of Reuben there were great resolves of heart. Why sattest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the piping for the flock? At the watercourses of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Have you ever known those Christians that have great resolves? They talk about what they're going to do. They make resolutions. And so now, with scorn, Deborah is bringing this to their attention. By the watercourses of Reuben there were great resolves apart, but they never came and entered into the battle. And she's bringing this out, and in a scornful way, in an ironic and a scornful way, she is humiliating them. So there were brave in Israel, and there were cowards in Israel, and there were those in verse 23, curse ye Meroz, even God pronounced the curse upon those that could have assisted in the fight against the enemy, but they did not. So this is somewhat about a mother in Israel. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are glad that you have shown us the truth. We've heard so many people speak about this being a man's book. Now, Father, we know that it's thy book. What man would confess his shame and exalt a woman? Our Father, thou dost tell us the truth. We are so glad. Our Father, we do pray that the Spirit that filled Israel at the time of Deborah shall fill our hearts. We willingly will take that spirit of courage and that spirit of discernment from a woman, but then let us be willing to take our places and let us in cooperation with them doing the things that you have designated us to do. We pray, our God, that these shall be done in our lives, and bless us, and let us have songs to sing and not sit by the weeping willow trees and hang our hearts and say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a far land? We are in the world, but we are not of it. Father, let us know about that song. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.